Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back to the podcast. We're glad that you're here with us today. I am still with Caleb. Can't get rid of him.
Yeah, can't seem to shake me at all.
Can't seem to shake him. He's the only one of our kids that loves the Bible, I guess. So, hey, I think it's important for you to know, obviously you're listening to the podcast, but I do think it's important for you to know that I take this podcast very seriously. I'm dressed business casual. I have a nice pair of slacks on, a dress shirt. I have a sport coat on, even have a little hanky thing in my pocket. Caleb, on the other hand, a pair of jeans, T-shirt, looking pretty shabby.
I got some nice white shoes, nice jeans, nice T-shirt. Yeah, it's all preference. You might just be a little out of touch. In right now.
Just put nice in front of it, I guess, and that makes it good. Okay, well, let's get into our nice podcast. I'll tell you, I don't know about you, Caleb, but Rahab is to me just what a lady. Mm. What a testimony. She risked her life. And we don't know her full story yet, but just what we know thus far is what courage, what fortitude, what lessons we learned from her.
Yeah, and her past was definitely not something she would have been proud of. But you see, it came to a point in her life where she discovered God and she chose to pursue that. And we've seen so far what a great example she's been in turning her life like that.
That is a... I don't know why we didn't bring that out last podcast. That is a great point. Rahab, if I said to the average person that would be Bible literate, said, Rahab, who was Rahab?
Yeah.
They would say Rahab the harlot.
They would.
And yet that's not who she was.
No.
That's only who she used to be.
Yeah.
You know,
Rahab. Let her past define her.
She's Rahab became the mother of somebody famous in the Bible. And mother in the Bible can sometimes mean maternal ancestor. It could be grandmother. But she was the mother of Boaz. And that is so interesting to me. So that means her daughter-in-law or her granddaughter-in-law was Ruth. And think about that. It was Rahab and then Boaz. Boaz, Obed.
And then Jesse.
Jesse.
And David.
David. I mean, here's this woman that we call Rahab the harlot. How about Rahab, the great-great-great-grandmother of David?
Yeah.
How about Rahab, the Bible hero? How about Rahab, one of four women included in the lineage of Jesus Christ?
Wow.
I mean, an amazing person. In other words, I guess I would say, don't let your past define you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let Christ define you.
Yeah.
And Rahab was defined by Christ. I love
she
that.
She was, yeah.
Well, that's another one of those rabbit trails. But Joshua chapter 3 today, so Joshua receives the news from the spies these people are afraid. God's already been at work. It's time to go. So in Joshua 3, he stages the people. He moves them from Shittim down right by the riverside. Now it's time to get across that river and to get busy obeying God in conquering the land. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim. That tells me that Joshua wasn't like the average person. He rose early in the morning. I am not a morning person.
No, I have difficulty getting up in the morning. I'm one of those people that sets several alarms.
I think most of the Skellies are normal. We're not. Well, I guess Mom.
Yeah.
Mom's a morning person. And Joshua.
Yeah.
That kid just annoyed me.
Yeah.
I mean, Joshua. He'd get
always
up.
Woke me up. I shared a bunk bed with him, and it would always wake me up, you know, because he'd get up early in the morning.
Yeah, Joshua rose early. Well, that's true in our family.
Yep.
Joshua rose early in the morning and then removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days. So there's a 3 day staging period. They're getting ready there by the river that the officers went through the host. And again, in the Old Testament, and it's important as we read our Bible, always to ask, you know, what do these terms mean? So in the Old English, the word host meant an army. Yep. So the officers are going through the army, the people that are ready to go and fight. And they commanded the people saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it or carrying it, we would say today, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. There's a mouthful in that verse.
There is. There's so much there.
So the Ark of the Covenant obviously was a box. It'd be about the size of the Hope Chest at the end of your bed, some of you. And that box was the place where the law that was given to Moses was those tablets. They were in the Ark of the Covenant stored there. And then the pot of manna. There was a pot of manna to remember the provision of God in the wilderness. And then the manna is about to end here in a day or two. And then the Aaron's rod that budded. So I think about it, and I tend to alliterate things. It's a curse. But I think it's a symbol of God's promise, his word, his power, the fact that he could make dead things come alive, Aaron's rod. And it's a symbol of his provision, the manna. But what was in the ark wasn't nearly as important as what would come over the ark. Because the ark would be overlaid with gold inside and outside. The top of the ark was called the mercy seat. And it was on that mercy seat that the blood of the lamb was sprinkled. And God had just given him all these instructions. And remember, it was over that mercy seat that the glory of God would come and meet with man. So think about the fact that God would meet man at the mercy seat. How different is that for New Testament believers? In the Old Testament, God met people at that ark. So that ark eventually resided in Jerusalem. That's why in the Bible you see people praying toward Jerusalem. Really what that means is they're praying toward God because God is meeting man in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
But today, you know, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
What a privilege, direct access to the throne room of God.
Yeah.
As a New Testament believer.
That he meets with us today. So when God was saying, wait for the Ark of the Covenant to move and then you move, there's a lot more to that than just wait for this piece of furniture.
Yeah.
I think what God is saying.
The Spirit of God to move.
Don't move without God. You know, when God moves, you move. Mm. When God goes, you go.
Yeah.
You know, we follow him. And so, well, what a teaching. Yeah. You know, that here we are as New Testament believers. How do we follow God today? You know, how does God give us instruction?
Yeah.
Through the Word of God. You know, that's why it's important to listen to podcasts like this or open the Word of God yourself. Why? Because God uses his word to speak to people. And we want to make sure that we're not going places that he's not going. Make sure that we are following his directions. So when the Bible says in verse 3 that they're to take the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and go, then we follow that. We need to learn to follow God. Verse 4, yet there shall be a space. Now think about this. There shall be a space between you and it. So a space between the people and the Ark of the Covenant. And then the Bible tells us how much of a gap there should be. 2,000 cubits. So a cubit was the length of a man's elbow to the end of his fingers. So typically about 18 inches, depending on how tall a man was, but you know, to standardize it, about 18 inches.
Right.
So 2,000 times 18 inches. let me see. 3,000 feet.
3,000 feet, yeah.
And there are 5,000.
280.
Show off. 280 feet in a mile. So 2,000 cubits would be about a little bit over half a mile.
Yeah.
Okay. So God said, I want there to be a half mile between the ark and the people, a space. Mm-hmm. Now why? Well, he tells us, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. Hmm. So to me, you know, I read that verse at first, I thought, you know, what does that mean? But I think it's just really practical. I think what it means is don't crowd around the ark. Yeah. Because if you crowd around the ark, other people can't see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a situation where they're crowding around something, you're craning over people's necks? I'm told that a group of our teenagers from Harvest Baptist went to France, and they were telling me about going to see the Mona Lisa. And okay. The Mona Lisa is small.
Yeah.
It's not a big, huge painting. And the room where the Mona Lisa was is packed.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't even see it. So people are going to the room and they're craning their neck and they're praying that they don't have short man's disease and trying to see. Well, that's the way it would have been with the ark. If you've got 1.5 million people or however many people there were trying to crowd around it to follow it closely, you're not going to get a good view of it. So I think it's very practical. Yeah. I think God's saying, hey, keep the ark out there where everybody can see it. Mm-hmm. And I love that teaching, is that, as we follow the Lord, God wants us to do, he wants our whole church to be able to follow him. He wants your whole family to be able to follow him. He wants us all to follow him, and that we could each have a vantage point to see the Lord. I don't know if I'm reading too much into it.
No, I think that's great insight. I love that point.
Well, thank you for saying that, Caleb.
You're welcome.
Great insight.
You need a lot of affirmation there.
I really do. but then I like what he says at the end of verse 4, for you have not passed this way heretofore. You've not come this way before. Make sure that you keep your eyes on the ark, because I'm taking you to a place you've never been before.
Yeah.
How important it is for us all the time, but especially at times in our life where we're going into uncharted territory, to keep our eyes on the Lord.
Yeah.
You were recently married. Well, you've been married a year.
Yeah.
So think about going into that uncharted ground. Mm-hmm. What's a time, I remember talking to you before you got married. Hey, right. Caleb, keep your eyes on the Lord. This is a transitional time. Maybe one of our listeners is about to go to college, or maybe you're about to start a new job, or maybe whatever. Uncharted ground is a special time in our lives when we ought to be paying attention to God.
Yep.
Making sure that we're seeing him, ascertaining his will, knowing his word. Would you think that's valid?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and following his word, think of the psalmist, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. As we were talking about in the last podcast, sometimes God just shows us just enough to where we go, the next step, as we go into those uncharted territories, we might not know the end result or the ultimate plan that God has, but if we are delving into his word and trusting him, he's going to show us just enough for that next step. And then when we reach that step, he's going to show the next one. And so I think it's a great picture that God displays here with the people of Israel, letting the ark be in front of them so they can see, hey, this is new ground. Wherever this ark goes is where you should go. Don't get ahead of it. Don't overlook it. Just follow my spirit.
Yeah, and that's good. And we'll end there because we're at a good transition point. I can't wait to learn about where that ark goes.
That's going
to
be exciting.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.